Jesus, on his last night with the disciples, has just washed the disciples' feet and then states, "No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." So for Jesus, being a friend is a high-stakes relationship. Friends are those who make a commitment to another no matter the cost. And since Jesus was about to lay down his life for them, from their end, this probably sounds like being a friend of Jesus is a pretty good deal. Jesus is some friend. But why does there always have to be a but? But before he defined friendship in this way, he said to them, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." So we are to love one another as Jesus loves us. That is, in a willingness to sacrifice for the well-being of the other. Now, if you go on the internet and search for images of love one another, you get lots of heart, lots of sunsets, or maybe there's sunrises. I can never tell the difference. There are people hugging and hands that are clasped. It's all very sweet. Not necessarily romantic, so much as sentimental. For Jesus, there is no sentimentality to this love or the friendship at all. This is the friend who will sit with you all day in a waiting room while your spouse is in surgery. This is the co-worker friend who will give up sick days at work and gift them to you so that you don't have to be off without pay while getting chemo treatments. This is the friend who, despite her own budget, brings you groceries after a death so that you don't have to worry about going to the grocery store. This is the friend who will risk other friendships to stand by you when others don't. This is the friend who forgives you when you really don't deserve it. Love, which goes hand in hand with this, love is also the parent who sits up all night with a sick child, or who will spend hours patiently helping them master something from school. It is the spouse who takes a deep breath and lets their partner know that they will get through this time of unemployment together. See, love and friendship, as Jesus defines it, it isn't easy. It isn't a sunrise or a sunset. It does require hard work and patience and learning to listen without judgment. It does mean making a commitment to the other. Jesus calls the disciples friends because he's sharing with them all the gifts that God has given him, but also all the responsibility. Love one another as I have loved you. This is so important to Jesus that he makes it a commandment. He has given us the gift of God's love, not just for our own fulfillment, or just not so we can say that Jesus loves us, but as a gift to share. And then he says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." He has chosen and appointed us to love as he loves. Which means if we want to receive the love of Jesus, we must then choose to take on the responsibility that comes with it. It kind of reminds me of a child who wants a puppy. And they mostly want it for the love and the fun. But the parents are going, who's going to take care of it? Who's going to be responsible? Who's going to bear the responsibility for that relationship? So what is the love of Jesus that we've been given? It is a love that sticks with us, even when we are our ugliest, meanest, most irritable selves. It is a love that forgives us yet again for the same stupid stuff that we do again and again that hurts others. It is a love that guides us away from the same stupid stuff as much as possible and toward a more redeeming way of being. It is a love that is there when we believe the whole world has walked out on us, that no one understands what it is to be us. And it is much, much more. This is the love to which we are called. Throughout my ministry, one of the best things I have been able to say to people in crisis and who are a part of the faith community I am serving is, we are with you for the long haul. Maybe it's after a death or a significant health event. Maybe a crisis within a family that has long-lasting repercussions. And it's these very verses from John that I have in mind when I say that. Because the church is supposed to be there for the long haul. I've often thought about the disciples and what they were thinking when Jesus said these words to love one another. After all, we have the brothers James and John, who just a while, not too long ago, were there, and they were there, and they had tried to worm their way to Jesus' right and left sides in the kingdom of heaven. And how were the others supposed to love them? Soon Judas will be betraying Jesus. A little later, Peter will deny even knowing him. How can they love one another after all that? Can they even love after all that? I think that's why he put it among his parting words that he says to them. Love one another as I have loved you. Perhaps each of them recalled a moment which is one they'd rather forget. Having said or done something very undisciple-like. And Jesus simply smiled and put an arm around them and cajoled them back into the group. Or the patience that Jesus had shown Peter in his impulsive and often misguided statements and questions. You know, there wasn't anything warm and fuzzy about the way Jesus loved. It was real. It was grounded in the way one loves real people with all their faults and all their shortcomings. And this is who the church is called to be the patient listener, as we hear the same story for the 11th time that day, to be the one who works so another succeeds, because our success is tied to their success, to offer grace to the one who doesn't even seem to want it, much less deserve it, to love people for the long haul, when they or their lives aren't picture perfect, to hang in with them even when it takes every ounce of patience we can muster, to stand with them even when we aren't even fully sure that we understand, simply because Jesus loves us in the very same way. Most of you know that one of my favorite ministries of the Presbyterian Church is our disaster assistance program. And one of its hallmarks is that they are quick to respond, but they recognize that recovery takes a long-term commitment. Recovery isn't just sending a truckload of supplies to wherever they need to go. It's walking alongside, sometimes for years, as people rebuild their lives and their communities. It is loving one another as Jesus loves us for the long haul. As those who have been chosen to love by Jesus, we are compelled to be present in the long haul. For the student as they go off to college, as newlyweds begin their life together, and I just want to notice that the Kettners are back. Woo! Congratulations. For the widower who's making their way in a very foreign land. For those in a long-term recovery or who have a chronic condition, for those whose disease is progressive, we are called to love as Jesus loved. It won't always be wonderful and fulfilling. Sometimes you may walk away in anger or tears or with more questions, wondering if it's worth it or if you have had any impact. But because Jesus keeps loving us, we keep loving one another. As I said, this isn't my last sermon. Don't worry, I got lots more to say before we're done. And I cannot give you the gift that Jesus gives each of us. That's his to give. But I can remind you of the gift and that we were appointed to use the gift to love one another as Jesus loves us for the long haul. Amen.